Good morning, Tucson, Arizona. You are live on the radio with Grant Kruger and Jump in Tucson on 10:30 a.m. The Voice. Super excited to be here with you today, this lovely morning in Tucson. Lots of good news to go around. First and foremost, everyone's super excited. It's high season in Tucson. Pretty much Tucson, Arizona's peak season is from about Martin Luther King Day all the way through to about U of A graduation and Mother's Day, right? This is when everything is happening. We've got the Gem Show coming up. We've got the golf tournament coming up for the PGA. All the restaurants and bars are packed. Sweet Tomatoes is opening back up. My goodness, we are super excited. We've even got a football coach coming back to Tucson, Arizona this morning, and we couldn't be happier about that. In fact, I'm pretty much a happy person all the time. My wife kind of bangs on me for saying that I am what they call a golden retriever husband, right? Someone that's always a glass half full sort of person. And I think that plays into my love for the 520 as well, too, that I'm always looking for the positive. And on this show and Jump in Tucson, we like to bring you the positive as well, too. But there's been a few events over the last just couple weeks that have chipped at even my faith in what's going on here in the 520. This is your golden retriever husband telling you there might be something that's just a little not right. And it started just a couple of weeks ago on my way in to do a promo to this show, actually. And we bumped into Juan Almanza, owner of Taco Rustico. And he was telling us about how his store had just gotten broken into the night before. And what a terrible story, right, for an acclaimed local business owner to have his store broken into. The next day, going over to my own business at the Maverick, we get a car broken into that morning. Someone had done the right thing, left their car overnight after having an adult beverage or two, and it was broken into. Now, at first I thought a couple of break-ins, this happens, right? Both of these break-ins had one thing in common, that was they were on or around Grant Road, my namesake, which doesn't always have the best reputation, but the hits continued. On my way into St. Philip's Plaza the next day, Pedego Bikes, a locally owned electric bike store, got broken into. Now, this is St. Philip's Plaza, mind you, right? This isn't Grant and Oracle anymore. We're talking River and Campbell. And so, within just a few more days, the locally owned Wren Coffee House in St. Philip's Plaza, shout out to Lisa over there, a great coffee provider, in St. Philip's Plaza, they get their back door kicked in. And broken into. And then coming up this Thursday, just a few days ago, I went to a meeting at the Rito Downs where I happened to volunteer from time to time, and they got broken into as well too. And suddenly within 2 weeks, nearly everything I had touched had been broken into in Tucson. And I started to think to myself, gosh, there's something maybe going on wrong over here. And so when I think about people that are active in crime and the things that are going on in Tucson, someone fighting to make a difference. The first call I made was to a good buddy of mine here on the show. This man happens to be the owner of both Lucky Wishbone. He happens to be the owner of a major food commissary as well, too. He's involved with the Tucson Crime Free Coalition, the SALC, the Coalition Against Retail Theft. This guy, he's got more letters after his name than most realtors you know. I'd like to welcome to the show Mr. Josh Jacobson.
Well, thanks, Grant. That was a great introduction, and I'll add to that. I won't tell you the type of dog that my wife says I resemble.
It's probably mangy in some capacity.
Absolutely it is. Well, happy to be with you here today. Certainly, I'm here to represent the Tucson Crime Free Coalition and give an update on a lot of the things that we've been working on. Very clearly, you have identified a lot of the issues that Tucson is dealing with, the crime on the streets. We've got serious mental illness. We've got substance abuse disorder going on. And it's really sad. We've gotten to the point where we're looking around. I'm like, you know, Grant, maybe you and I are in the wrong business. Maybe we shouldn't be in the restaurant business. In Tucson, plywood and the fencing business seems to be the business to be in, right?
Without a doubt. I mean, you on Chris's show just now, they were talking about Thrive in the 05. And I think to myself, how could you or I or Nate Aries that was on our show last week come out and open up a store right now in good conscience in one of those neighborhoods? And we're pro-development people, and we're pro-Tucson and pro-neighborhood. We want this to work. And somehow the local lack of enforcement of crime is really starting to affect development in Tucson, Arizona.
Well, we've gotten numb to that situation. As a community, we've become just go with the flow as to what's happening. But what is really happening is there's a tax being levied against the community, against business owners, property owners, and citizens. And that's called the crime tax. You know, when you're dealing with businesses that are being broken into, businesses that have huge amounts of organized retail theft against them, what happens is costs of goods and services go up. Business owners are having to put a lot of money into additional security guards, camera systems, fencing, all of that. And it's getting harder and harder to do business in Tucson. So just to give the listeners a quick rundown of what the Tucson Crime Free Coalition is, I've got two other co-steering leaders, Kevin Daly, who's a software engineer and on the board of Flowing Wells School District, as well as Monica Carlson, who's in the heating and cooling business. We started this project roughly 16 months ago. We are nonpartisan. We've grown our coalition to over 6,500 members, and we work as volunteers. Our website is thetucsoncrimefree.com for people that want to get involved. We have a weekly newsletter that comes out. Don't worry, we don't spam you, so feel free to sign up. So here we are today, Grant. We have started moving into this next phase of the Tucson Crime Free Coalition. And we've started taking an interest in candidates on both sides of the aisle to figure out how we can put the right person in the right seats.
I think that's a great statement to say both sides of the aisle, too, to segue into what's going to be our guest coming up on the next segment. We've got to find a way to work together and get past the politics on this one to really fix the 520. Because there's a lot of things not going right over here. Josh, could I ask you, like, what gave you the drive and motivation to come out as a restaurateur to get involved in all of these community projects and applications? It can't be easy.
No, that's a great question. So, you know, last couple of years have been obviously really hard in the restaurant business and for all businesses. And one of the big issues, one of the turning points that we saw was we had people that started coming into our businesses asking if we had extra tinfoil. And it was like, wait, why do you want tinfoil? You know, we've got to-go boxes and takeout bags. Why the tinfoil? Well, fentanyl was on the rise. And so we started to feel the effects of the break-ins. Our employees weren't feeling safe. Our customers weren't feeling safe. The crime tax was plaguing us. We started talking to other business owners. And, you know, you and I can sit here and we can talk all day long about the problems that we're all facing. Tucson's very poor. We have a 19.8% poverty rate. Pima County, we were a little bit better in the surrounding area, but it's really a mixed bag. You know, we rank third from the bottom from our 11 Western State MSAs. That's the metropolitan statistical areas. And so as a result, we started looking at what solutions.
I love it. Thank you so much. You are listening to Grant Kruger and Josh Jacobson on 10:30 a.m. Jump in Tucson. Welcome back, Tucson. You're live on the radio on Jump in Tucson with Grant Kruger and my guest, Josh Jacobson from Lucky Wishbone and the Tucson Crime Free Coalition. Welcome back, Josh.
Thanks, Grant.
On Jump in Tucson, we like to cover a lot of local topics over here and really get to the bottom of things that affect you in Tucson, Arizona. We had a great slate yesterday. We had the great Ted Maxwell from SALC, and he brought on Senator Mark Kelly, and then he brought on Rob Draper from the SALC. Next week, he's got Juan Ciscomani lined up to come, and I think that's just fantastic. But today, we're going to focus on something we can control a little bit more than a Senate race or a congressional race. We're going to talk about county attorney. And so today we've got a guest on. I think it's his first time on 10:30 The Voice over here. And that is Mike Jetty, who happens to be running for county attorney. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
We're really excited to have you on the show here today. You've got a wealth of experience. I mean, going over both your resume, the cases you've done in Tucson, the cases you've got coming up, like, I think that, you know, you stand a fantastic chance to be extremely competitive in this race. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, first of all, let me start off by appreciating the invite for the audience here for Jump in Tucson. I really appreciate the opportunity for me to introduce myself to your audience. I'm a not native Tucsonian, but I consider myself a native Tucsonian. I've been here for 22 years. I've been married for about 18 years. What people don't know about me is I have an MBA from Thunderbird, and I also have a master's in international security. So border security is a big thing for me. I've been a prosecutor for about 16 years. I've prosecuted cases at the county level, the state level, the federal level, and just got back from a tour from DOJ sent me to Pakistan and the Philippines. And so I came back about 3 months ago, and I realized I need to make a bigger difference in my community, because my wife and I live downtown, and we realized that it has not gone the way we thought it would go. And so we had an experiment with our current county attorney. It didn't go the way it should go, and so we need to sideline that individual and hire someone new for the job. And so I decided to run for county attorney.
Thank you for stepping in. I think everybody needs to get involved in local politics and take a bigger focus on this one as well, too. So looking at your resume, you've got this master's in international security from the U of A in 2021, and you spent the last couple of years in Pakistan and the Philippines. How does that experience compare to doing business here in the 85705 and the ways we could possibly clean that up?
Well, one is I got the security degree to go to Pakistan. So one of the things I learned in Pakistan is my job over there was to set up prosecution offices, train prosecutors, work on terrorism cases, and work on cases with a U.S. nexus. Pretty heavy stuff. And so what that trained me to do, when I come back here to the U.S., come back to my own community, you realize I don't want to ever draw the analogy that these two countries are the same. However, when I go to downtown Tucson, I feel less safe than I was in Islamabad or Rawalpindi, Pakistan, because there's a lot of, just this morning, my wife and I, we go for runs in the morning, and just this morning, both of us were accosted by an individual who I believe was on fentanyl. I can't attest. I'm not a law enforcement officer.
Of course.
Don't do a drug test, but it was a frightening thing for my wife and I to be running along, you know, early morning hours and stuff. And so it's just a drastic situation when you go downtown Tucson. And so I love downtown Tucson. I want to make it my home. And, you know, I appreciate the businesses. And I was thinking about, you know, a pro-business mindset here is businesses are, that's the interwoven fabric of our community. If we don't have businesses if we don't have my beloved coffee shops, we don't have my beloved shops for my wife to go to and shop around, then what is our community? We don't have a community. And so we want to make sure that if you get broken into, Josh, or Grant, your facility, your business gets broken into, that those people are held accountable, regardless if they're on drugs, they're held accountable. Now, how we treat them is a different story. However, we need to hold them accountable. And that is one thing you see not being done in our community.
So Mike Jetty, you are a Democrat running for county attorney, correct?
That's correct.
And what is your web address?
It's votemikejetty.com.
Okay, and that's the best way to get a hold of you?
Correct. I got an email on there. I got a phone number on there.
Okay, great. So, you know, you bring up a big point there. You know, regardless if people are committing crimes, if they're on drugs or they've got conditions that are making life a little bit more difficult for them, something that we've done with Tucson Crime Free in collaboration with Pima County, Jan Lesher, Steve Holmes, Kate Vesley, great partners on the project, is the Transition Center, where we're actively trying to get people connected to services. So under a Mike Jetty, what do you see that matriculating to in terms of if we're going to arrest people, we're going to prosecute them, we're going to get in the services, how can we use some compassion with law enforcement but still protect the community?
You know, I've never once worked for Barbara LaWall, and I don't really know Barbara LaWall. However, when she left, she had some really excellent attorneys. And one attorney who ran the office, Amelia Kramer, set up a STEP program. And so, which deflected, and then if someone failed on treatment, they moved through that system for accountability. In the last phase of that STEP program would be imprisonment. We tried to avoid that, but there's all these mechanisms in place for treatment. Now, I want to give you a number. The last year of Barbara LaWall, there was over 1,000 people who started that program, that started that STEP program. The best year that Conover ever had was 527. So there's 1,000 people under Barbara LaWall. And then we have this supposedly this pro-treatment, pro-addressing this fentanyl crisis or this drug crisis. And we have an individual who has 50% less people in this program for treatment. I think I know what the treatment is. The treatment is, I'm going to take your drugs and let you go. And that's been the treatment, I think, the mentality out in our community. We're just going to take the drugs from you because you can't have the drugs.
Or we're simply not arresting.
That's what I'm saying.
That's another
you don't arrest. You don't arrest and go. Now, I think what you can do is, I wouldn't call it arrest. You take them and move them into a treatment facility, and then you progress them through that facility. Accountability and treatment together need to go together. And so I think that's how we address some of these drug problems. And so,
yeah, big issue. Grant and I, we had a sit down with a few other leaders and Laura Kahn over a couple of years ago, and we were explaining all of the issues that we were having around our businesses. And roughly 2-3 weeks later, it was during COVID, but that's when it came out that Laura Conover was going to stop prosecuting for possession charges. And so for us, that seemed like that really steered the ship in the direction that we've gone to now.
You know, I don't mind the concept of not prosecuting for possession crimes. I don't mind that at all, because a lot of times these are people who are addicted. And so, however, that's one thing not to prosecute, quite another not to hold them accountable. And so there's a process we can do. I hold the anvil over their head. And so here is the incentive. I'm going to put you through this treatment program and hopefully we clean up your life. Because I think it's inhumane to just allow people to be addicted and roam around zombie-like around the community. We just saw it this morning, my wife and I. And so it's painful to see that. And so if there's a way that we can use my office and synergistic use with the city council or whomever for treatment, let's do that. Let's clean up the city, because your business needs to be safe, my home needs to be safe, and my wife and family need to be safe. And so we've got this network of importance here, and it doesn't get addressed if you just kick them back to the street. It doesn't get addressed.
That's what we say. When we go to the encampments and we're looking at what's going on, the drug activity, the crime, the physical violence inside of the encampments, It's inhumane the way that we're letting.
And this
happen.
Is neither Democrat or Republican idea. Right. I mean, this is not a legislative position at all. This is about rule of law and about what we can do to best address people who are addicted or have mental health issues. And so that is the best way. And so that's one of the many reasons why I want to run. And so that is something that just needs to be addressed here in our community.
Well, one of the big things that I'm interested is we've seen in the media that there seems to be a mass exodus of good prosecutors, good talent, people leaving the county prosecutor's office. It sounds like you have a lot of experience with leadership, setting up prosecutors, training them in foreign countries. Is that correct?
Yeah, 100%. So setting up offices and training prosecutors, I think we're getting close to our crunch time, but I will say this: that office has had some very talented, top-notch prosecutors in that office. I mean, I think half the U.S. Attorney's Office here in town are from the Pima County Attorney's Office, and so that shows the quality of lawyers from that office. However, when Conover took over, there was a mass exodus. I think she's on her 6th crim chief or 5th crim chief. 3 or 4 top deputies. I've got no idea how many. I was in Pakistan, but when I came back, it was just this turnover after turnover. As you guys know, even in businesses, when you have massive turnover, it's a cost suck, right? It sucks
without
all
a doubt.
Without a doubt. Well, how important is it when you lose that as a prosecutors, right? You lose talented prosecutors. You go to court, they're not qualified. They don't do the big cases. They're outgunned and outmatched by really sophisticated defense attorneys. And so you need to bring that back. You need to bring some confidence back. You have to, I don't want to say you start from scratch, because there's some seriously good talent still at the Pima County Attorney's Office. However, they lost a lot of them already. And so
these are certainly some things that we need to fix. And it looks like you've got an incredible wealth of history here as the Assistant Attorney General for the Arizona Attorney General's Office. And when we come back after break, we're going to talk about some of the high-profile cases that you have done and perhaps some of the cases that you've got coming up over here as well, too. You are listening to Grant Krueger, Josh Jacobson, and Mike Jetty on 1030 AM, The Voice, your home of local news and talk. See you after the break. Good morning. Welcome back, Tucson, Arizona. You are back on 1030 AM, The Voice on Jump in Tucson with Grant Krueger. I'm here with special guest Josh Jacobson from the Tucson Crime Free Coalition and Mike Jetty, who happens to be running for county attorney for Pima County as a Democrat. Welcome back, gentlemen.
Thanks, Grant.
Thanks, Grant.
Excited to have you again on Jump In Tucson. We've got a great cast coming up tomorrow. I've got Tom Moulton hosting. He's going to bring in Tony Sanders and PJ Loughton from Old Tucson Studios and talk all things Old Tucson. We're going to bring in both the general manager and the author of a book called Old Tucson, the biography of a movie studio and town historian. But today, we're talking about New Tucson, which happens to have some shocking similarities to Old Tucson from the Old Tucson Studios as well, too. We've got such things going on today in New Tucson, such as train robberies, right, Josh Jacobson?
Yes, that's actually a very true statement, Grant.
Unbelievable. Can you expound upon that one a little bit?
Yeah, so if you remember, the encampment over at Estevan Park was something that Tucson Crime Free Coalition took a lot of interest in. What a lot of people don't know is that the fence along the Union Pacific Railroad, it gets cut. People go out onto the track. They pop the cables between the cars that stops the railroad. The conductors have to walk the railroad while Connex boxes are being broken into. And that is a real thing that is happening. TPD has training on those train breaches.
Good old-fashioned train robbery. This is New Tucson, guys, not Old Tucson over here, just for the record. And so this is kind of disturbing. And this was the genesis, I think, of the show today, to bring you both on as a guest and Mike Jetty as well, too, to talk about both what is going wrong over here in Tucson and be honest about it. And then let's figure out some solutions. And so, Josh, you think you've got some numbers maybe for what's going on in crime in Tucson? Where are we at the end of 2023?
Well, what I really want to bring up to Mike is there's a narrative that is going on in the community that our electeds are pushing, and that is that crime is down. And the Tucson Crime Free Coalition rejects that notion. Frankly, we believe that they're trying to gaslight the community. We have a lack of officers. We have a long response time. We have lack of prosecution. And we have citizens that have simply given up calling the police or sheriff's department because they know that, unfortunately, we're so short-staffed, not much is ever going to happen. So, of course, when you have those dynamics, crime is down. What are you seeing, Mike?
You know, so there's a bunch of different indexes you can look at. I would encourage every listener to go to the Department of Public Safety and the FBI and other sources to look at the data themselves instead of listening to people like me tell you what it is. But most important, though, you see it yourself as a resident of this community. And so the one thing that people need to keep in mind is it used to be in Old Tucson, you want a cop, you got a cop. Now it's a situation where you, as a victim of a crime, you most of the time, unless it's an emergency, you need to report it online or call it in or something like that. So when you have that kind of situation go on and there's no response, you get a chilling or an icing. So victims of crimes do not report crimes. You get a lot of that in DV situations. And so you've got a lot of unreported activity that's going on in Tucson, but we still see it as residents of our community. We still see this activity. So when you look at stats, it's there's a stat for everything. So don't listen to me necessarily and don't listen to Ms. Conover. What you need to do is go to the Department of Public Safety, go to the websites and look at it yourself. And when you say crime stats, be careful of how you characterize that, because there's a lot of things in crime. So there's homicides, there's rapes, there's burglaries, there's all sorts of things. So for example, I want to make sure that we all understand this. When you say homicide, when you say crime is down, oftentimes people would think of the most severe crime. They think of homicide. And that has nothing to do with law enforcement. That has something to do with just the activity of people in the community. Now, when we talk about how was the prosecutions of those crimes, and so that is the stat you want to look at. How many successful prosecutions are you having? And that number is way down. There is a significant reduction in burglary convictions, significant reduction in robbery convictions, significant reduction in homicide convictions. So regardless if a crime is down, you got serious reduction in convictions and holding people accountable. And that goes back to the whole, how many talented prosecutors do I have in my office? What's the workload like? What's the morale of local law enforcement? And how's my reporting going on? So all these things all intermix in this kind of stew. And so go ahead, Grant.
So what you're telling us is that just because crime statistics say they're down, that's just convictions or prosecutions of crime, but that actually, like, it could, the real numbers could be far from the truth, both based on a lack of reporting and a lack of enforcement.
Well, I'm going to push back a little bit. I'm not saying crime is down. I'm not saying that at all. What I say is homicides, maybe when you look at one figure, homicides may be down. But I think DPS has records showing that property crime is up, burglaries, robberies, crimes are up. You have sex assaults and domestic assaults. Those cases are all up. And so when you look at, when people say crime, people just go right to guy with gun, guy shoots gun, guy kills guy. And so they go to that situation and go, is that down? And so you may have 31 homicides 1 year and you may have 25 the next year. And you say, look, I've got a 30% reduction in crime. And so we all need to be careful of what the stats are. You know, everyone in this community knows that when we talk about break-ins, we talk about burglaries, we talk about assaults, we talk about even just the intimidation factor when you walk around the community. We have people like zombies just make it uncomfortable because there's been no accountability of these individuals. It jeopardizes our community to be holistic and be nice. Just have a nice walk around. We like to walk around. I love to walk around Tucson. And can you do that?
No, 100%. I think it's safe to say that certainly on a tangible level, crime feels up, right? I started the show telling you of five different break-ins that I knew of in 2 weeks, and that's five that just came across my desk. That's not an accurate sample size of all of Tucson by any means. But if it's happening there at River and Campbell, it's happening further down south, and I think a whole lot of this is not being reported. But speaking of those numbers, I did go to the DSPS website, and it had Tucson ranked as 68th safest out of 76 cities in Arizona. Nationally, there are 9,869 cities, and we rank number 9,135. Not so great over there, guys. Got to be honest about that one.
Grant, and Pima County was just recently ranked as number one in the state of Arizona. I believe 828 cases per 100,000.
As the most dangerous.
As the most dangerous.
And it's important to know that Arizona, unfortunately, we finish usually in the top 10 of all U.S. states of most dangerous states. Sure. So Pima County is head of the class when we talk about Arizona, which means we're part of the head of the class of the nation. So
certainly. Well, we've got a couple minutes before break over here, and I think we've got time for a caller. I believe we've got Charles in on our phone number, 520-790-2040. You are listening to Grant Kruger, Josh Jacobson, and Mike Jetty on 1030 AM, The Voice. Good morning, Charles.
Good morning, Mr. Jetty. I appreciate your willingness to, as the show says, jump in and do something about crime in a positive way. I have a question I always ask people who are running for office, and that is, if you're elected to this office, you'll of course have to swear an oath, and that is to uphold the laws and the Constitution of both Arizona and the U.S. According to Arizona's Constitution, if you know it, what is the stated purpose of government in Arizona?
Well, I would believe the stated purpose of government is to do the will of the people. And so if the people have elected me to the county attorney's office, my job is to fulfill that job and duty to the best of my ability. So that is the role of my governmental position, is the will of the people, and the people have voted me into county attorney.
Okay, well, that's actually not even close, but I would invite you to read Article 2, Section 2 of Arizona's Constitution, because you're going to have to swear to uphold it. It won't mean much if you don't know it. That's
I'm reading one. Well, Charles, respect, Charles. Just hold on. I love the pushback, Charles. I'm reading Article 2 now, Charles, and literally it says, all political power is inherent in the people. The government derives their power from the consent of the governed. And so I think I just answered your question. If the people consent for me to be in that position, I will be the county attorney and I would uphold the law as written. I think I just answered your question.
I admire your intellectual honesty in actually doing that. And as far as I'm concerned, you have my vote, because you have the intellectual honesty to answer a question honestly. However, that's not the whole thing. The most important part is what comes next. I encourage you to read that a lot on the air for everybody.
We'll have them take a peek at that one over here when we come back, because we've got to take a break. You are listening to Grant Kruger, Josh Jacobson, and Mike Jetty on 1030 AM, The Voice, your home for local talk and news.
Buenos dias, Tucson. You are back on Jump In Tucson with Grant Kruger and my special guest today, Josh Jacobson and Mike Jetty. Jump In Tucson is bringing you some hot topics tomorrow. We're going to bring in Tom Moulton. He's going to bring in some guests that run Old Tucson Studios. He's got Tony Sanders, general manager of Old Tucson, and PJ Loughton, author of Old Tucson, the biography of a movie studio and town historian. But once again, today we're talking about New Tucson, and there happens to be a whole lot of similarities going on in town. There's a candidate out there for county attorney that has worked on an awful number of large number of cases that reflect what New Tucson looks like. He was involved with the Rio Nuevo probe a few years ago, theft at the Tucson Museum of Art, cattle rustling at the Marana Stockyards and Livestock Market, and even the Super Bowl pornography hack from 2009, bringing back candidate for county attorney, Mr. Mike Jetty.
Thank you, Grant. Yes.
Grant, which one of those cases...
Why do we always laugh when we mention that last one?
Well, I was just wondering which case really excited Grant the most.
Well, you know, we had some talk earlier today. Matt brought up the hack of the road signs here in Pima County, right? And I think the most famous hack happened to be that hack of the Super Bowl in 2009 when about a 35-second clip of pornography came across the air. I believe we all got to see a clip from Wild Cherries number 5, if I recall. And you were the prosecutor in that case.
I was. That was unfortunate for everyone who had to succumb to watching that. I think Comcast listeners were victimized by that. Yes.
Yep. I was at a bar when it came on the giant big screen.
So tell us about some other cases that you've prosecuted as well, or you've got either you've done or you've got coming up.
So I appreciate that. So, I mean, like you said, I did the Rio Nuevo probe. There was no prosecutions from that case, and there's a whole other reason. There's a legal reason for that. But two, I worked on the largest cattle rustling case in Arizona history, the largest copper theft case in Arizona history. I've done public corruption cases, bad cops. I've gone after public officials, the Nogales mayor. I've done large, enormous $33 million fraud cases. I mean, I've done the whole spectrum from homicides all the way through. And currently I've been asked to assist on one of the cases down south at the border for a murder of an individual on a ranch. And so because of my skill set, they asked me to help prosecute that case after he rejected the plea. So that's my job. I'm a career prosecutor, and my job is to uphold the law. Going back to Charles's statement, my job is to uphold the law as written. So that is what my goal here is to do. And my goal here is, as your hopefully your next county attorney, is to do the same thing and bring back talented people. And like I said, if you want to contribute and see what you want to do, go to votemikejetty.com and please send me an email, contribute, donate. If you can sign, independents and Democrats can sign the petition. I encourage everyone. If you're really serious about when you walk the streets of Tucson and you go around the town and you if you're concerned, if you see yourself talking to others or talking to yourself and you're saying, I wish someone would do X. Well, this is the vote that matters the most. And so you can vote for Senate, you can vote for Congress, but this is the vote that matters. When you walk down that street, you're going to see immediate impact based upon the person who holds this office. So
I love it, Mike. I think that's great. This is something we've all got to get more involved in here locally. I know local politics isn't quite as sexy as the presidential race or the very hotly contested Senate race, but these are the races that are going to make a difference in our community.
Yeah, and Mike, you actually brought up that, you know, independents can vote. And how can independents vote for you?
And yeah, so independents can select the Democratic ballot for the Democratic primary. So don't feel, if you come from a different state, different states have different rules, but in Arizona, independents can select the Democratic ballot. Now, I would encourage every Republican, because this is a rule of law position, I would encourage every Republican to switch to independent and then pick the Democratic ballot too. This election matters. This election matters more than anything you know, because if you continue to complain about, well, do something about it. Roll up the sleeves and do something about it. I come from Pakistan. I rescued an Afghan female judge. I did some homicide cases. I worked on terrorism cases. And I see what apathy and non-involvement does to a community. And so you want to make sure that we don't do the same, we don't follow that same road here. So let's roll up the sleeves and vote someone else in. And you guys may not, I know this listener group is a Republican listening group, but I am an independent thinking person. And so I have a lot of Democratic views. I'm running the Democratic ballot. But I encourage you, this is a position that should be nonpartisan. So vote the best candidate. And you Republicans, if you don't want to switch to independent to vote, then my checking account is always open for contributions, because it takes big money to run against what we call like the machine that Conover has. And so it takes a lot of money.
Without a doubt. To bring up a couple facts here for our listeners, that election is coming up on November 5th of this year, the general election. However, the all-important primary actually happens to be the 6th of August. And those early ballots go out on the 10th of July. So essentially, the election starts, you know, right after 4th of July weekend for you, which isn't as far away as you might think. We're getting near to February over here, and so it's already crunch time for these races. There was not a Republican candidate for county attorney in the general election in 2020. Ms. Conover ran unopposed and, not shockingly, won that particular race. And so this time, I think that we're going to see a little tougher competition in that Democrat primary, looking at what we're hearing from you over here, sir.
Mike, let me ask you, is there going to be a debate? Is there talk of a debate between you and Laura Conover?
Well, I welcome any debate with Conover. I mean, whenever she's available, I saw a response to her from my article in the Tucson Agenda that she welcomed any debate. And so I'll just say on the radio, I'm welcome. If she's willing to do any debate at any time, our schedules, I'm 100%. And not just one, but we could do multiple in Marana and Oro Valley on East Side, Green Valley. We can go everywhere, because I know people, I don't expect people to commute an hour just to see me debate Conover, but we'll go mobile and make sure that everyone gets to see the difference between the two of us. I'm a career prosecutor, and I think it needs to be restated. She's a career defense attorney. She's got 3 years on this job as the head coach of a football team. You are literally have three losing seasons. Do we want to put this position back into the hands of her again, or just get a new head coach? And so that's what we want to do here.
Tucson Crime Free Coalition, we do a lot of work with our law enforcement officers, our deputies. There was just a recent vote of no confidence in Sheriff Nanos, and maybe we should start talking a little bit about that right after the break. Is that right, Grant?
We're done right after this one over here, Josh. We are finishing up.
So I guess the quick question is do you have any sort of a relationship with Chief Kazmar? We support Chief Kazmar. We've been critical, but do you know Chief Kazmar?
I know the chief, and I wouldn't say I have a familiar relationship with him to where I can say he's supportive or anything. I don't think he's in that position to even do that. So, and I don't know the Sheriff Nanos.
I guess the big point is obviously county prosecutor, law enforcement work hand in hand. And so developing those relationships, making sure that the whole machine is working properly. And that's been our criticism of leadership. And clearly the sheriff's deputies have that criticism as well.
This is the number one law enforcement position in the county, higher than the sheriff, higher than that. We are the ones who prosecute, go to court, prosecute, and hold account people who commit crime. And so this is the position that matters the most.
It certainly does. And I thank you both for coming over here and having a riveting discussion about this. You've been listening to Grant Kruger and Josh Jacobson, Mike Jetty on 10:30 a.m. The Voice. Get ready tomorrow for Tom Moulton. We'll be talking about Old Tucson. Ed Ackerley will be here on Friday as well, too. We've been talking about New Tucson over here. I want you guys to think locally. I want you to eat locally. And I want you to jump in Tucson. Have a great day. Thank you very much.